Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ram fans, this is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey, episode 382 of Rams Up here. This is what we're going to do this episode. Sunday morning, I had Paul Walia on board, and we posted on the YouTube channel the results of that discussion. Paul's Puka Power prospects, a bunch of day three sleeper prospects that he wanted to talk about going into the combine. This episode, we're going to get through the guys on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll follow that up in the next episode with the offensive players, the guys on offense that Paul really likes. All day three prospects, much like Puka Nacua was, Kyren Williams, Quentin Lake, a bunch of other guys. Now, you can watch the whole thing on the YouTube channel, augment it with some videos. Encourage you to do that, or you can listen here and listen tomorrow to sequential podcasts covering the same content, Paul's Puka Power Prospects. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I have Paul Walia back, and you know, we did our mock draft the other day. Paul made all the picks, and we're just ready to go with the NFL draft prospects, and Paul wanted to come back on and share his Puka Power Prospects. How you doing, Paul?
Fantastic. Always love to talk football with you.
Okay, explain to everybody what your Puka Power Prospects are.
So I've always been a fan of the day three part of the draft, finding those players that might be underappreciated and not getting too much love on the draft circuit. So and we saw how Puka just sort of shock the world and let everyone know it doesn't matter where you're drafted, it's what you bring to the table. So I wanted to do a segment about a certain number of players that I have. The criteria is pretty straightforward. Have to be a day three prospect officially. So what I did is I went over five different databases, calculated the average draft position. So they had to be lower than 101. So if the average draft position came out lower than 101, they were included on the list. We did lose two of the players that were on this list. The first was Kyrie Jackson. I'll shout him out right now. Big physical corner that I just loved. Transferred from Alabama to Oregon. He got moved up. He's averaging now like 83. So that was one. And one of the players that we talked about, also another corner. Safety, Javon Bullard. He actually got moved up. And he's like at 63 now, which is amazing. So we lost him off our list as well.
And the edge rusher out of UCLA, he was kind of on the fence, right? We dropped him at the last second. Gabriel Murphy.
Gabriel Murphy, other side of Latu. He started out a day three prospect, but now he is a solid day two prospect.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go through this. We're going to start with one particular favorite of yours. Then we'll walk through some defensive guys, and we'll wrap it up with the offensive guys. If we don't get to the offensive guys this episode, we'll save it for another one. We'll see how long this takes. So your first guy, who do you want to talk about?
So I just want to preface everything by saying that after the combine, as you know, we'll definitely see players on this list or other players become identified, become valued. And then what we'll do is have another segment after the combine, and we will update this list. So this will be great. So it'll be very, very useful for Ram Nation. I did try to keep each player, because this is a Ram podcast, is that how does it fit within the Ram scheme of things and the viability of them being drafted by the Rams? So, and there is a definite flavor that you're going to see, a definite trend across all these players that will show my biases that Mark is well aware of. I really do love those type of players that are those hard workers, team captains, just like the Rams value. I like the multi-year starters, the ones that have a great story, you know, overcame a lot of adversity. So let's take a look. And let's start with my favorite, high-velocity Vasi, Sione Vaki from Utah.
Okay, so, tell us about him.
So Sione Vaki is one of my favorite players. He is a very unique player. He is a player that's unique in this respect. He's not a Swiss Army knife, and I don't really like that term when they apply it to him, because he's more than that. He does many things well. He is a legitimate three-phase player. What does that mean? He impacts all three phases of the game. So let me just give you a little bit of a summary on Sione Vaki. And let me start by saying shout out to our Polynesian Ramley members and to their rich and robust culture. So first off, Sione Vaki, I mean, this is just a rocked up player. They have him listed as 6 feet, 215. He's from Northern California. Great trivia fact. He backed up Najee Harris while he was at high school at running back. And he also was invited to the Polynesian Bowl when he was a high school player. The Polynesian Bowl is an annual high school football all-star game. They hold it out at Aloha Stadium every January, and it features many of the top high school seniors in the country. Most are of Polynesian ancestry. So he is he plays for Utah. And just to give you just a little bit of a summary in terms of his stats, so in terms of his 22 and 23 stats, defensively, 40 tackles in 22, 50 tackles in 23, five passes defended in both years, two sacks in 23, and an interception in 23. He was mainly used as a box defender. He did spend a little bit of time as a single high defender, but also jumped down into the slot and covered tight ends. He was very effective in the slot, where he could be really physical and where he could also close quickly on runners near the line of scrimmage. Showed great toughness and great blitzing ability. But here's where it gets interesting. In 23, he also had 42 carries because the running back position was hit hard by injuries at Utah. 42 carries, 317 rushing yards. His average was 7.5 yards a carry, Mark. His longest run was 75 yards. Okay, as a receiver, 11 receptions, 203 yards. Mark, what was his average? 18 and a half yards a reception. 18 and a half. And he took three to the house. Okay, so not only is this a player that brings a lot of intangibles to the table, but he is tough as nails. He is a heat-seeking missile. He impacts the game on the field, offensively, defensively, and as special teams. He's able to cover kicks. He is also a returner, so kickoff returner as well as punt returner. What else is there to say? He has the ball skills to cover in a zone. He loves contact. Offensively, his potential is only limited by McVay's imagination. So
go ahead. So most importantly, the primary reason the Rams would draft him would be as a starting safety. So you pair him up with someone else, and then they added the next thing I could see realistically him participating in is kick returns, punt returns, and kick returns. And then realistically, he might give the Rams the ability to maybe activate one less running back on game day than they normally would. If he's, is it realistic that he could learn the playbook as a rookie, the offensive playbook as a rookie, if we are assuming he's starting at one of the safety spots? That I don't know.
So excellent segue. So let's start with one of the Ram updates. So we know Ronnie Rivers got tenured, correct? So Ronnie Rivers is back in the fold. And we talked about the running back room at our last segment. So what do we have? We have Iron Kyron. We have Rivers. We have the kid from Ole Miss, Evans, right? This is a great fit for that number four RB role, right? I honestly believe that Vaki could be a phenomenal running back. No question about it. He has the long distance speed. Whether or not he has the wiggle to play, to be like a feature back, that's a different story. But the kid is tough as nails. So you're right. The idea is that he can contribute in that arena if, just like what happened at Utah, when they do call his numbers, he's ready. He's also a great receiver out of the backfield. So let's look ahead somewhere down the line. Could he spell Iron Kyron, some great plays out of the backfield, screens, let him leak out of the backfield, let him get downfield? Listen, the kid is a home run hitter, regardless of where you put him on offense.
I'm going to take an educated guess. He's also good at pass blocking.
Yep, very, very willing pass blocker, very physical. So that's the problem. I think he's a victim of his own skill set. He's so good at everything he does. And at Utah, the coaches admitted that. They didn't know how to utilize him early on. They really didn't. And he was just a natural fit at safety, right? That sort of hybrid safety linebacker role. So for me, I think he's a slam dunk. This is Puka part two. He would fit for the Rams in a lot of different arenas. I think I could see him right off the bat playing on defense with a night in that safety rotation. Listen, we know we got one starter. That's Lake. That kid's, he's not coming out of the lineup. No question about it, right?
Right. And so we've done some mock drafts. You did one. I've done a few. And I think it's pretty clear at this point that the Rams, they have a pick 100. And is it pick 152, 153?
Yeah.
And he's going to go somewhere in between those two picks. So if the Rams are going to have a shot at him, they either have to use that late third round pick, or they have to find a way into the fourth round.
So, and you know what the scary thing is? He's going to absolutely, absolutely light up the combine.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this before the combine, so that we can prep all of our viewers and listeners of what they might be looking for at the combine. We're predicting who is going to elevate their name at the combine, basically.
And okay, this kid, he's going to interview lights out. I mean, he's just going to be fantastic. Immediate contributor, special teams, no question about it. He could right away return kicks for us. He could cover kicks, and he can definitely get into the safety hybrid linebacker mix. Like I said, heat-seeking missile on defense. And then let's see how he develops in that running back room, right? What he brings to the game.
How sweet would it be to have Fuaga, Nacua and Vaki all out there on offense together.
We can only dream. Power, baby. Polynesian power all the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. You want to move on to our next guy? Is it the inside linebacker from Kentucky? Is that who you wanted to talk about next?
Yeah. So let's talk about one of my other favorites. We talked about him at the draft. Trevin Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky. Another great fit for the Rams. Right now, he is listed as a day three, but once again, I think he's going to blow up the combine. And tell you honestly, let me tell you why. So he is rocked up. They got him listed as 6'1", 240. In high school, he was a two-way player, linebacker, played multiple spots on offense. Listen to this, Mark. He was a track and field athlete. He competed in 100 meters, 200 meters, 110 hurdles, high jump, long jump, and shot put. How's that sound? He was clocked at KU, at Kentucky, at two I think this was in his junior year, 241 pounds. He was clocked at 22 miles an hour on the GPS, which was comparable to the wide receivers on the team. His vertical jump, 38.5 inches, power cleans 380, and squats a little bit under 600. He was named one of the team captains, and he started all 12 games in his senior year. So right off the bat, Mark, are you impressed?
Yeah. And where do you expect him to go in the draft? Are we talking fifth or sixth round at this point?
I think he's going to fly up the boards. I think he's going to light up at the combine. And when people watch his film, listen, he jumps out on film. Watch any Kentucky game, and you will just see him just jump out at you. He had 80 tackles, 5.5 sacks, and 1 INT. I describe him as he's a high energy linebacker prospect. This kid is just got sideline to sideline speed, and he just plays hard, whistle to whistle, never ever shuts it down. He's got fantastic. He's probably one of the most athletic linebackers in this class. He hits like a runaway freight train. I just think when I look at him and I just picture him next to Ernest Jones, the Rams defense will take on a whole different dimension. The athleticism is just off the charts, and he does not have to come off the field. He is a legitimate three-down linebacker.
Yeah, I guess the issue for the Rams from the Rams' perspective will be if they reduce the number of picks they have and go for quality. If they end up with 8 or 9 picks, my guess is they may not draft an inside linebacker at all, knowing this team. Right. But if they keep 10 or 11 picks, they're going to scatter it all over all these position groups. And hopefully Wallace is a linebacker they come home with.
He's an easy prospect to overlook. So even after the combine, I'm hoping he stays as one of our, what we like to call day three diamonds. So if he winds up being a day three diamond, and the Rams see that. We saw that with Puka when they were like, the BYU is still on the board, right? So let's see. I think this kid is a legitimate shot. I think Vaki does as well to wind up on the Rams.
Okay, next up, we've talked about this guy a little bit. Take it away. We're talking about the big defensive tackle.
And as you can see, my SEC bias is showing through, right, Mark? So we had our linebacker from Kentucky, and then we have what we call Mount McKinley, Jackson McKinley from the Aggies. This guy, he was also in my mock, one of my favorite prospects in this draft. Jackson McKinley, defensive tackle from Texas A&M, listed at 6'2", 325, a true senior, came out of high school. He was the number one prospect in the state of Mississippi, Mark. All right? This year, he started all 12 games at defensive tackle, finished the season with 27 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but when you're playing the nose in the SEC and you have 5.5 tackles for loss and 3 sacks, that's saying a lot. He also served as the season-long team captain. Mark, we see a trend developing here. The things that captaincy criteria that we look for. Okay, once again, comes up to play. What I love about this kid is his durability. He started 40 games in 4 years at nose tackle. Okay? And in the SEC, that is not a small feat. That is substantial. Overall, this is a twitched up, talented defensive tackle. I think he has one of the highest ceilings at this particular position in the entire draft class when it comes to interior defensive tackle. Now, not only can he anchor against the run, if you watch his tape, when he got a chance to, you know, to penetrate and get after it, he was not able to be blocked one-on-one. So you can use him in a lot of different ways. You can get creative in an even front or an odd front, but you can use him at the three, the two eye, which the Rams love, that tight front. So you can use him at the three, that eagle two eye, the one, or the zero. That type of scheme versatility in a true run defender is very, very rare. And if you think about it, what a front, Mark. Let's take a look at this, right? Left end, the conductor. Mount McKinley in the middle and 99 problems on the right. I would take those three down linemen any time of the day.
Same school as Bobby Brown, too.
That's right. And we got Bobby Brown at depth. We keep Mount McKinley fresh. Listen, he can do a lot of damage, not just defending the run, but getting after the passer. And that's
another guy. Well, you picked him in your mock draft, our mock draft number four.
Yes,
I'm not sure if that was the 100 pick or a fifth round pick.
Fourth round.
Yeah, but another guy that your Rams are going to have to. The Rams are going to have to find a way into the fourth round, or they're going to miss out on a lot of these prospects, and I think they will.
Because a lot of these players, like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? They might be, let's say, fifth round now or fourth round now, but after the combine, you never know. They're going to get elevated. So they have that first rounder. Like I said, if they don't feel like they have that player that they love there at 19, move back. You know, there are going to be a lot of teams that will be willing to, you know, take that 19 and give you maybe a two or a three or a couple of fours. Who knows? Go for it. And load up on these type of players. These type of players, and the reason we're doing this segment is to show you there is a theme here, the intangibles. Puka really highlighted for a lot of people the importance of the intangibles and not just what you see at the combine, not just what you see with the 40 times. It is that competitiveness, that hyper-competitiveness, I should say, right? That desire to win, but more importantly, the desire to be better. The desire to fit into a team concept and the willingness to fit into a team concept.
Okay, the next guy up, I'm going to let you handle his last name. Another defensive lineman.
Oh, yes. My buddy from Alabama. The SEC love continues, right? Justin Igbogbe, right? He's listed as 6'5", 292. He played four. I have him listed as playing in 14 games in 23. Came up probably his best year, 7.5 sacks, 11.5 tackles for losses. In his career, started 56 games at Alabama, 5 years he played there at Alabama. He lost most of 22 to injury, but was named to the All-SEC first team this year by the SEC conference coaches. And that really stands out to me. The coaches so the teams that he played against, the coaching staff recognized the importance of this kid and what he brought to the table for Alabama. This kid plays big in big games. Every big Alabama game, he came through. He's a very good run defender with impressive upper body strength. He's got those long arms that I love. And as you see, like Mount McKinley, he's 6'2", 325. We mentioned the conductor. We mentioned Donald. We have a lot of those low to the ground, you know, 6'2", 300, 6'2", 290 penetrators. But this kid is that long D lineman that we haven't had, right, Mark, for a long time. He's criticized for not having an advanced pass rush move to go to. But as a 3-4 end with length, I think he would be perfect for the Rams. He definitely has pass rush potential when you watch him. He's described as stiff. I don't really see that. I see a much more twitch. I think a lot of that has to do, like I've said before, when you play in a confined system, let's say if your job is to shut down a particular gap or play run defense, I think that does sort of you know, take away from the pass rush potential. I think he fits perfectly for the Rams as a rotational D lineman with length. He reminds me, Mark, a shorter Michael Brockers. And I know how you and I are both Michael Brocker fans.
Yeah, I miss that guy. We really lost something when he left.
And that length is important. Think about it. When you bull rush and you just put your arms up and you're 6'5", listen, a tipped pass, that's as good as a sack.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who you got next?
One of my favorite players in this draft, man. I love this kid, once again, LSU. I love LSU linemen. The Tigers know what they're doing. And this kid is Jordan Jefferson. He is listed as 6'3", 320. He played in all 12 games. He was a transfer from West Virginia in 22 and then transferred to LSU. So this was his first year at LSU. In 22, he logged in at 12 games, 553 snaps for the Mountaineers. He added 18 tackles, 7 assists. As a pass rusher, he tallied 12 total pressures, 8 quarterback hurries, and 3 sacks. He transferred to LSU as a fifth-year senior, played in 12 games, took part in 379 snaps for the Tigers, but started the final 6 games at defensive tackle for the Tigers. He finished first among all LSU defensive linemen in tackles. Not bad, right? 7 TFL and 2.5 sacks. In total, he's played in 55 college games. This guy is just an absolute road warrior. His highlight moment, probably everybody remembers, he had that, he sacked that Wisconsin quarterback late in the game in the bowl game, forced a fumble, and he sealed the victory. So what I love about this kid is he has a great first step for a player his size. Even if you didn't watch the Senior Bowl, if you go back to the one-on-one drills, which I think is a little unfair to the offensive lineman, to be honest with you, but if you watch those one-on-one drills as a D lineman, he was very, very consistent. He got off quickly, had a great first step. But what I like about him, he showed multiple ways to win. He wasn't just going to one move. He wasn't just going relying on speed. He wasn't just relying on bull rush. He's not a slow, lumbering nose tackle, as some people might perceive him. He's got to get up and go. He needs to work on his technique. But overall, he has all the other intangibles that you would want in an interior D lineman for the Rams. I think he would be great on the Rams' interior rotation. I could see him doing the 0, the 1, the 2-I, right? Easily would be fantastic at the 1 or the 2-I because, like I said, he has much more in terms of penetration skill than people are giving him credit for. He's also incredibly strong. If you watch him, the way this kid takes on and absorbs double teams, Right now, he plays a little high, but everything else, great interviews, great personality, great temperament. I think he would fit in great with the Rams.
Yeah, those are the types of guys the Rams like for sure. And you're talking about really strong defensive linemen. What about this next guy on our list?
Oh, yeah. So once again, we were in the draft. We did the mock, and he was one of the players I was really excited about. And Mark was like, oh, that's interesting. I got to do some research on this guy. And Mark was impressed by certain achievements, and I'm going to read them off. So Gabe Hall is a player out of Baylor. He's listed at 6'5", 290, 295, somewhere between there. He was listed on he was number 45 on a list of exceptional athletes, NCAA athletes. They do what they call the freak list. Right. He benches 500 pounds. He squats 565. He cleans 365 and deadlifts 750. Mark, this is my favorite one. You ready? He hit 19.9 miles per hour on the GPS. Urban legend.
Those weightlifting measurements are, that's the same. That's what I do. Just move the decimal place over one to the left. That's where I'm at. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I'll join you in that category as well. Right? These numbers, for those of you in Ram Nation, are absolutely astounding. And then to have the quickness to hit almost 20 miles an hour, this is why I love this kid. Yeah. And this is why when we do these segments, people say, well, then explain, how does that happen? Well, at Baylor, he's playing in a four-point stance 90% of the time, right? Because they run that 3-4, and his job is to really shut down the line of scrimmage. That's his job. And to let the linebackers do all the work and make all the tackles, right? But that's what we're talking about when you talk about scheme fit. He brings a lot more to the table than if you just look at his stats. Now, he's just salivating at the opportunity to show off his skills at the combine, right? Because when they see this, but not only when they see him run the 40, but when they see him do everything else, they're going to be like, holy cow, this guy can play. So overall, once again, Ram Nation, are we seeing a theme? Guys that have played multiple seasons, that have the durability, that have that explosive athleticism. Okay, he started 47 games, 12 and a half sacks in his career, 16 and a half tackles for losses, solid run defender. His strength at the point of attack and arm length just basically stand out when you watch him. He's hard to move one-on-one. He's got a full, everybody was talking about the Senior Bowl. He flashed some pass rush moves, a cross chop, arms rip move. He was able to escape blocks. He's got a really nice base when he plays against the run. Like I said, he's spent a lot of time in the 3-4 at Baylor, so I think he's a great fit for the Rams. But more importantly, he's able to run, has great feet. He's still raw when he comes to the pass rush, but we're starting to see a lot of these moves. He's got these long arms. I think he's going to have no problem generating pass rush and getting sacks at the next level.
So there's four straight defensive linemen that you've named here.
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite of those four, if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick one, Mount McKinley is my favorite.
Okay. And that's probably the area of biggest need for the Rams.
Oh, yeah. He would solve that run.
Along the defensive line anyways.
Absolutely. I think Gabe Hall, I think he's another one. Even after a great combine, I think he might still wind up, like you were saying, like maybe round four. I think he might be able to sneak up into round three. Listen, put this guy anywhere from, I think, left defensive end or right defensive end, he'd be fine. He could also play the nose. I did watch his reps at nose tackle. He was able to play the nose. He did great. So I just think he'd be fantastic. He fits the Rams system. I think he could play the five, the four eye. I think he could do the three, you name it. He's just a great defensive lineman with length, a la Michael Brockers.
Okay. And by the way, let's see, Jefferson from LSU, Brockers from LSU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
SEC pride, baby.
Yeah.
So everybody knows my bias towards safeties as well. I love safeties. But, you know, Mark had mentioned all these linemen. Listen, football is won in the trenches. So when you invest in the O-line and the D-line, the results are basically pretty much straightforward, right? It's right there for everybody to see. This is a player that I absolutely love, which I think is, he's also going to do well at the combine. Incredible athlete. His name is Cole Bishop, 6'2", 205, multi-year starter for the Utes. He came over as a true freshman in 21. And early on, he was used largely as a box defender. But right away, the coaches said that they could see he just had that desire for contact. He played high safety this year, and he produced in a big way. 60 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 INTs. Let me just run down Cole Bishop for you. 29 starts in 3 years. Once again, we're seeing that trend, right? Multi-year player, right? He was a Senior Bowl invite, 23 College Football Network All-American second team, 23 Jim Thorpe Award semifinalist, 3-time Pac-12 All-Conference. He had 2 games with 10-plus tackles, both coming against Florida in 22 and 23, 12 and 11 respectively. This year led the secondary with 60 tackles, had 6.5 TFL, 3 sacks. He had nine third down stops, tied for most on the team. What does that tell you, Mark? 9 third down stops. He also defended 5 passes, 2 INTs, 3 pass breakups, forced a fumble, and had two fumble recoveries. This is a great prospect. He is a physical safety with solid ball skills and scheme versatility.
Now he's going to go before Vaki, right?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, his ball skills will probably put him ahead of Vaki, right? Vaki, like I said, his biggest detriment is that he does everything well and doesn't have like one single niche to sort of draw upon, which I think is the wrong way to look at him. I think a lot of people that are looking at him are looking at him the wrong way. I think he's a great hybrid safety linebacker. I think he's a hybrid safety. I think he could, like I said, he's a contributor. How many players can impact the game in 3 phases, in all 3 phases, at any one given moment? Not many. So I think that's his true value. Really what it is that his true value is that he's going to impact all 3 phases of the game at any given moment.
And whereas Bishop is more of a cover safety.
Absolutely. Cover safety, box safety. And that's his real selling point, I think. He can play it any way you need it. He can mix it up in the box. He can track the ball downfield. He needs to clean up his tackling. He just loves to come down like a heat-seeking missile and sometimes doesn't break down. But also, a lot of times, he won't go for the INT. He'll go for the big hit. And we see that a lot with the safeties coming out of college. So I think, you know, he is a player that is definitely going to benefit from NFL coaching. You know, he's definitely going to be able to generate more turnovers in the NFL than he did in college. I see him as a future ringleader for a secondary. He's got the intangibles. He's got the leadership ability. And Mark, can we stop for a moment? Quentin Lake, strong safety. Bishop, free safety. Is that not a fantastic duo?
Yeah. How do you feel about Quentin Lake vacating that star position? Would you rather keep him there? And
you know what? I think nowadays, and we saw that in the Detroit game when they were just targeting Hoyt, they kept throwing the ball to his side until, you know, the Rams decided that they were going to stop it. You know, when I think when you have 2 safeties that can jump down and do that, right? That can jump down and cover. So you have 2 players that can, you know, theoretically play the star, right? I think you have a lot of scheme versatility. Do I think Quentin Lake would be better off outside of the star? Probably, right? Only because he can give you so much in other arenas. And then you can find somebody that maybe might be more adept at the cover part of it. He did prove that he can cover. In no way are we critiquing his ability to cover. I'm just saying that he could bring more in a lot of other arenas to the Rams.
Yeah, and I wish we knew what the Rams were thinking in that regard with Johnson and Fuller free agents. What are they going to do with Quentin Lake? Do they see Yeast as a full-time starter potentially? I know they
Interesting.
They kind of benched him a little bit for a while there. Then they brought him back.
Do you see Yeast almost in that Nick Scott mold?
Yeah, right? I guess. I'm not sure if he's what I would call a really good safety at this point. I just don't know. I don't know. I didn't see enough of him. I didn't go back and watch closely. I was just reading what others were saying about Yeast. I thought he was playing well early on in his career. And then some people were kind of down on him. And I think the Rams coaching staff was down on him a little bit.
I think that's a great example, though, Mark, that you brought up with Yeast, though. So think about it. If he's playing in that dime spot, how many plays is he actually getting in on? Right? So there are guys that maybe only contribute 19 plays in a game, but that's substantial, correct? Yeah. So I think the way that the offense in the NFL has sort of progressed, that defenses have to be, you have to have flexibility and versatility. That is a priority. If you do not have that, they will dissect you and dice you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, just going off on a tangent here, and this is one of my pet peeves. A lot of people don't realize Russ Yeast, a seventh round pick, is actually a very good draft pick. You know, he's contributed out of the seventh round there. So give the Rams credit for that.
That's the whole point of the segment. What about Quentin Lake?
Yeah, right.
You talk about playing a star position. How many – do you know what kind of talent level you need to have to play the star position?
Yeah.
And
he seems like – I saw an interview of him. You don't see a lot of interviews of players like him, not marquee-type players. Super intelligent guy, really smart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would say everyone on this list, for example, if I'm not mistaken, Cole Bishop was also an academic honor award winner as well. About three or four of the guys that I just mentioned were also received academic accolades as well.
Hey, but I was going to go off on another tangent, and it's not part of this segment, but remember my buddy Ladd McConkey?
Yeah.
He was the winner of the Werfel Award. And I didn't know what that was, and I looked it up, and it's something to the effect of the best combination of athletic, community service, academics, the whole shebang. So, he's going to be a great player.
And so, a lot of teams now have this award. It's called Community Service Leader Award, right? Leader Award. I think a lot of the SEC teams have that. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. And that's really what we're doing when we purposely call this the Puka Power Players. These are the players that bring a lot more to the table than just on the field. They are, in terms of what they bring to the community, as role models to the other players on the team. You know, just creating that culture that we're talking about, that winning culture, not just about winning games, but winning in life. And that's a big deal, if you think about it, that sometimes it's overlooked in the world of professional sports.
Yeah, and that's why I was a big fan early on of Tremaine Ankrum. I don't know if you heard the stories about him.
Yeah.
His rookie season, he was on the bench, not getting any playing time that I'm aware of. And they found no one even knew. He was down there on weekends in downtown LA helping feed the homeless.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, so we talked enough about Bishop. Now this next guy, this next cornerback, I did take a moment to look at his tape and talk about a feisty cornerback from the little bit I did see. Take it away on Devonshire for us.
MJ Devonshire. So I had to put him on here because my buddy went to Pitt and we watch the Pitt game sometimes. And we always laugh about that. So because the Pitt uniforms look a lot like the Ram uniforms and we're both Ram fans. So what's really great about that, before I go into Devonshire, I just want to highlight when we started to see the theme as we went through all these players, right? The team captaincy, a lot of the awards, multi-year starter, the durability, right? Maybe not getting all the glory because of, for whatever reason, maybe scheme that they play in, but the productivity is definitely there. This is a guy, whenever we would watch, he would just jump out at us. You talk about a feisty corner. If there's one characteristic of every player on my list, hyper competitive. That is exactly what we want. The ultimate road warrior. That's what we want. And he's listed as 5'11", 190. There's no way he's 190. But, you know, we'll give him that 5'11", 190. This kid is just an absolute joy to watch. He had a great career at high school. Went to a Pennsylvania powerhouse. Mark, another trend. Three sports stand out in high school. Football, basketball, and track. He played defensive back at football, wide receiver, and he returned kicks. As a senior, the team went 14-1, and they won, I think, the 3A championship. He had 27 catches for 571 yards. He scored 24 total touchdowns. He scored four different ways his final season. Mark, let me say that again. He scored four different ways his senior year playing football. 24 total touchdowns. 8 interceptions on defense. And he had 3 in the state title game. Mark, wow. He had 3 INTs in the state title game. 8 kickoff or punt return touchdowns, and that was one short of the national high school record. He had 5 return touchdowns that were nullified by penalties, so he would have had another 5.
Yeah, I was going to say in camp, if the Rams draft him and he's tackling Puka in camp, they're going to have to separate him every time.
But if he's returning kicks in camp or during the season, you know he's going to take it to the house. So yeah. That he's absolutely electric. What I loved in high school, he was named the player of the year by the football writers. Okay, he was also voted athlete of the year, high school athlete, and averaged more than 17 points per game in basketball. Okay, won 2 track titles, 100 and 200 meters, when he was in high school. All right, so you got this storied high school career. He actually wind up once again, SEC Mark, he actually went to Kentucky, right? And then wound up transferring to Pitt. Since he's been at Pitt, his career has been nothing but about making clutch plays, right? He had a clutch interception in this 21 season, which was his first career interception against North Carolina, which sealed the win. He finished that 21 season with 17 tackles, 3 pass deflections, 1 INT. But he's best remembered for that famous what? What do they call it, Mark? The Pitt Six, the interception against West Virginia in that famed backyard brawl. He intercepted the pass, returned it for 56 yards as Pittsburgh beat WV. You know, he was named ACC Defensive Player of the Week 4 times. He finished the 22 season with 34 tackles, 8 pass deflections, 3 INTs, and 2 touchdowns. He also returned 24 punts, 1 for a touchdown.
And he's another guy that's probably going to go, my guess, looking at my draft board here, probably another 4th round guy, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Some people have him as low as round 6. He's one of those guys that can get easily overlooked. You know, his senior year, he played really well. He was, once again, second team All-ACC, so that's 2 years in a row, junior year, senior year. Like I said, knack for the big play, can contribute as a returner and as a cornerback in his career. 46 punt returns, 347 yards, and a touchdown in his career at Pitt. 8 INTs, 3 he took to the house. So what do you have here? You have a kid with a lot of potential. You know, he's physical enough against the run. He has to work on his tackling, no question about it. When you watch a Pitt game, he just jumps out at you, right? And that's the first thing you said, right? When you watch him, just feisty, he's always challenging the high point of the catch against receivers. And listen, they were outmanned in a lot of games. They were, when you watch the Pitt games. You know, and this is a lot of Aaron Donald love, right, because of Pittsburgh. So AD 99. That's right, yeah. So I think, like I said, he can contribute. I'm hoping even after the combine, he stays in that late round range. I think he can, you know, fly under the radar a little bit. Rams pick him up, add him to that room. Whatever role he contributes in, whether it's dime, nickel, maybe down the road as a surprise starter, He's going to contribute. He's going to make big plays. And that's one thing the Rams need out of their secondary in that zone is you have to be able to make those big plays. INT, even better, INT and take it to the house. Trammell was thankfully was not tendered, Ram Nation. Can we all just go, thank goodness. Trammell was not tendered. So I have so far two candidates for guys that could contribute on defense, but also return kicks.
Not just fair catch.
Not just fair catch. Actually do something when they catch the ball.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.